I think there's a larger societal thing here. I think the last decade has really been dominated by social media. People no longer print photos. They take hundreds of photos in a given day. Photography has been cheapened, and people just flood their camera phones with plenty of photos. And that has impacted on tourism, because I think everyone wants the perfect snap, but a snap is just a couple of seconds and they're gone again. And that certainly has been a trend over the past 7-8 years. And iconic sites like the Cliffs of Moher and Bunratty Castle, but all those other beautiful places around our county are suffering as a result. So the new model of tourism, it's not a new model, but the model has changed a little bit, is that people board a bus in Dublin city centre in the early morning. They come down to County Clare. They probably leave through Kinvare and Galway. They're back up to Dublin in the evening. You have your breakfast in Dublin, dinner in Dublin. You'll have lunch somewhere along the way. But what I've noticed is, and people should look at the itineraries of some of these companies, stops like Bunratty have now been relegated to photo stops. So that says an awful lot about where these companies are at. They're no longer pulling up the bus at the gates of some of these places, bringing 50 people in, another 50 the next hour, and so on and so forth. They're just stopping off, quick photo, gone out of the county. Some benefit from this type of tourism, but it's very targeted tourism. You benefit if you're the designated restaurant. You benefit if you're the designated visit site, but nobody else in the county benefits. And this is a county that sustains somewhat seasonal, but in a calendar year, 12,500 people work in tourism, Clare. It's worth $250 million to our county's economy. So I think we need to stand up a little bit and say this model of tourism just simply doesn't work. It needs to be rejigged. And we need to go wind back the clocks a little bit to a more sustainable, a more profitable model of tourism that was a more enjoyable experience. And it wasn't that long ago people experienced that type of tourism in Clare.
I mentioned at the outset that you've claimed certain tour operators are openly flaunting National Transport Authority guidelines on tourism routes. For our listeners who mightn't be familiar with them, what are the NTA guidelines on tourism routes?
Yeah, so the NTA cover all public transport, but interestingly, they also have a role in terms of tourism. So coach tour operators would have to submit a licence application to the National Transport Authority. They're generally approved. I mean, we're pro-tourism in this country, but they're given a specific route to travel, and that route is balanced between tourism and the scenic spots, but also road safety. In County Clare, there are certain routes in North Clare that are stunning, but they're also quite dangerous and haphazard to drive on. So the NTA, particularly around Ballyvaughan and Fionnuala, the NTA have designated certain routes that coaches can safely go down. I use safely in inverted commas, because some of the community would dispute it's safe, even safe to begin with. But there's one company, I'm not going to maybe name them on the air this morning, might be fair, but they have openly flaunted this time and time again. So the Fionnuala community have been in contact with me, and I said, Jeannie, where do I go with this? So I contacted the National Transport Authority, and they said, look, we set out the route, we don't enforce it. I've been in contact with the guards. But then I decided, you know what, I'll pick up the phone to this company. Surely, you know, they're a big company. They're all over the county every day of the week. Let's talk to them. So I emailed over and back, and eventually the managing director himself contacted me, and he said, look, this is what it is. We're going to keep going down these routes. This is what our passengers want to see. I was kind of gobsmacked, because I said, right, you've a certain license route, but you're openly flaunting it. The community knows, we know it, and now you're taking this cavalier approach.
So they're adhering to what the passengers want rather than sticking to the actual designated routes.
Yeah, they're following the market, generation Instagram, hop out of the bus, quick photo, gone. And you get that kind of impacting photo by going those windy, narrow roads. You don't necessarily get them by following our national and regional routes throughout the county. But what it means is, and I encountered one some weeks ago when I was back West Clare doing a clinic, you could be coming up a very narrow road with grass growing up the middle of it. Next thing, a 50-seater coach is coming towards you. Someone has to reverse and pull in. Inevitably, it's going to be the car. But where do you go to? There could be another 5 or 6 cars behind you. It just becomes bedlam. The other thing these coach companies are operating by is a very tight and unrealistic schedule. If I was embarking from Dublin in the early morning, hoping to take in the west coast of Ireland, I'd probably give myself a couple of days to properly see Clare, Limerick and Galway. But they're trying to squeeze all of this in on a 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. schedule. Sometimes they also have to do a drop-off, perhaps at Doolin Pier for a ferry out to the Aran Islands. So that if they're going in a ferry, it means the schedule becomes even tighter. And it means that whilst they're trying to squeeze in the photo stop in Bunratty, Cliffs of Moher and everything else, they're really pushing the bus at top speed to try to make these schedules. They're unrealistic schedules. It's lightning speed tourism. It's certainly not slow tourism. And I would say that it has very little economic benefit to the county overall. I think there's a solution to it, though, Alan, which we might get to in a moment.
Yeah, and so what can be done then, Col, to ensure these companies stick to the routes that are designated by the National Transport Authority? Because, as you say, I mean, that sounds like a huge undertaking to try and tick all of those tourism boxes in a very finite amount of time.
Yeah, so I'm asking the guards to come out and enforce this. This is a particularly licensed route. If they stick to the route, fine. If they want to deviate from it, you know, anyone would accept a deviation on one or two occasions, but this has now become their fixed route. This is what they advertise. This is where they go. And they've just decided to flaunt, I think, the licence route. So I'm asking the guards to pull up these buses some days and just say to the driver, look, I'm sorry, you're not supposed to be on this route. Go back to the one you're supposed to be on. They will still reach all the same spots on their itinerary. It just means their route is along better roads, safer roads, safer for the North Clare community. And you know, I think they also need to have a conversation about where they're actually coming to in County Clare. We're probably victims of our own success. We have this incredible motorway up the spine of the county, and then it goes eastwards, obviously towards Dublin. We often in Clare look at the Kerry tourism model. It's an incredible one, and we're kind of rival counties in terms of the tourism product. But what they have is an inferior road network. So when you come down to Kerry, you're not going to make it back up to Dublin that same evening. You have to base yourself in the county, and you therefore get to experience more of it. But in Clare, that motorway lends itself to people whizzing up to Galway or down to Cork, but more often back to Dublin in the evening. Breakfast in Dublin, dinner in Dublin, small bite to eat in Clare. You'd be lucky if someone spent €30 by the, you know, in the county, and it's in a very targeted spot.
And that's a difficult one to get around, though, Col, because, I mean, we can't, you know, dismantle the road to try and force people to stay in Clare. So, what can we be done other than guards trying to, you know, if they come across a bus that they see is off a designated route, telling it to get back on that designated route?
Yeah, but that is enforceable. For car users, the road is the road and we can kind of go anywhere. But for larger vehicles, there are quite strict rules. You'd often see it in some rural communities or going over an old bridge. There could be a tonnage limit on how many, you know, how heavy a vehicle can be traversing a bridge. There are also, very strict stipulations on large vehicle haulage on some of the narrow roads in the county. And the NTA license is a legal agreement that's set down in law and designates which routes people can get to. They will still see the Cliffs of Moher. They will still see the Burn. They will still see Bunratty. And they will still see some of the best parts of the county, but they will do so on safer roads. There have been accidents. It's a whole different discussion. There have been some awful tragedies on the roads this summer in Clare. And I think that we need to look at that as well. Safety has to be in the lens of this very much so as well. And that's really, I think, why communities in the north and west of our county have been really riled up in the last few months. They're saying that vehicles and cars need to slow down firstly, but this needs to be a road network that's safe for locals to go out and walk the dog or people to have a cycle, and slower tourism needs to be able to enjoy those roads as well. It can't be all 50-seater buses being rammed down narrow country roads out of Dublin in the morning, back to Dublin in the evening. It's very unsustainable, and that coach tourism was a fabulous asset to our county up till around 7 or 8 years ago, when they made plenty of stops, when it was a slower day, when people were coming down to enjoy and experience Clare. Now it's in and out of the county as quick as you like. I experienced this type of tourism myself about 10 years ago. We were on our honeymoon, my wife and I. We went to one of these Caribbean cruises, and it pulled into a different port every morning, and you get to experience the country, in inverted commas, from about 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you're back on the boat again. And Jamaica was an example. We were over in Jamaica, and you get a little stamp in your passport, you've been to Jamaica and you've seen the highlights and you're gone again. But Jesus, I mean, your head would be spinning getting back on that coach. You've seen so little of it. You've experienced so little of it. And that now has come to Ireland as well. It's a whiz in and out. And I think tourism can be better than that. This is a pretty small island. We took a little family holiday ourselves this summer up to the north. I finally got to tick off the bucket list of the Giant's Causeway, but from County Clare, it's 4.5-5 hours. It's not a huge journey. It's not a huge journey from Dublin to Clare, from Clare to Kerry. People can come to Ireland, have an incredible experience. And why not flip the model on its head, Alan? Why not base yourself in the west of Ireland and do your day trips to Dublin rather than being based in the east and coming west?
You would certainly imagine across an entire coast there'd be more on offer, and there is more on offer than in one county. But like, Col, the big problem is, even if we could get tourists to spend more time in Clare and, you know, stay for a couple of days and visit all the other tourist spots and fantastic amenities that are there for them, the issue of accommodation comes up. How can we get tourists to stay here if there isn't enough places to put them up in for the night or a couple of nights?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. It's a massive, massive problem. There isn't accommodation there at the moment to meet the full needs of the county. A lot of it is, of course, tied up with refugee accommodation.
It's hard to see that changing to any great degree in the near future.
Well, it's. I think it's going to be a feature into the new year as well. It certainly looks like the war in Ukraine isn't ending, and a lot of this accommodation will remain tied up. I think Clare County Council have a role they can play here, a positive role, and I've been suggesting it to management in Clare County Council. They need to seize this unique opportunity they now have, having management over the Cliffs of Moher and Bunratty Castle. These are the two sites. And look, there's dozens of places people want to come to see in Clare, but these are the two iconic ones, the magnets that draw people from the east over to the west. And I think Clare County Council need to say, you know, if you're coming into our car park, if you're going out to visit the cliffs, you do need to visit Bunratty again. This idea of pulling in across the road, taking the photo, needs to stop. I think the council can leverage something here. This is how contracts are worked. When we've all been overseas, you go out from your resort on a bus for the day and you're brought to two or three places. These are negotiated contracts. And if Clare County Council are going to be negotiating with these large Dublin-based companies who do want to come to the cliffs, they do. I think we need to leverage the fact that Bunratty is along the way. You used to stop there 6 or 7 years ago. You used to send people in there for an hour and a half. We want you to revert to that as well as part of the contract.
There are some Cahill who would say, though, that, you know, you're talking about the council, that they'd point the finger at the government and say the government should try and take pressure off counties like Clare, which rely heavily on tourism in terms of where refugees and international protection applicants are accommodated, and try and accommodate more of them in other counties that are less reliant on tourism.
Yeah, and probably unique in some of the backbenches in having that view myself. And I have said to the government many times over, indeed I've been on your show over many months, saying that County Clare is under savage pressure, not just from a tourism point of view, and probably more concerned by things like education, public health care and those other metrics, but County Clare is under huge pressure. And I recently put down a dog question on accommodation, and I don't have it here in front of me, Alan, but it was very obvious that not every county is shouldering making the same effort in terms of providing support here.
And is that scenario likely to change, though, Cahill?
Yeah, just to be balanced, we can be very proud of what we've done and welcoming these people in and supporting them has and is the right thing to do. But it's how many you bring in and how much a community is able to support them, I think, needs to be factored for here. And Lister Invern is the one that keeps coming back to me. The population there increased fourfold, but not every piece of social infrastructure increased fourfold as well. I mean, the schools, the public transport systems, that needs to be a factor here considered as well. And I would say there are communities in other parts of Ireland who have only played a very minor role or no role at all, and yet the likes of Lister Inverna, you know, have from the very get-go have had their arms wide opened. But you say, Col,
your view is you're kind of rather unique on the backbenches. I mean, within Fianna Fáil, are you trying to get that message across that the pressure needs to be taken off counties like Clare? And is it difficult to get that message across when you're kind of, it sounds like you're by yourself or you're very much in the minority?
But the concerns I would be articulating to you now would be felt in other parts of the country where, look, I said from the get-go, the answer to the refugee crisis is, of course, to do our very best to welcome in as many, provide safety, comfort and support in every way we can. But I also said that the answer isn't to funnel everyone through scenic Ireland where you have many hotels. If you think of Lister Inverna being an example, the town has has very little there. It's got a couple of schools, a couple of shops, it's got its pubs, but it's really built around tourism. That's why you have the bones of 1,000 tourism beds in that town. You don't have 1,000 residents, you've got 280 residents, permanent residents. So it's very easy when you have a crisis like this to look at the metric, only one metric, hotel beds, roof over your head. And I just think that's it's a rather limited view to take on things. You do have to look at education. I was a teacher myself, and I think it's put savage pressure on schools. And they're playing catch-up. We've had schools in the county where, you know, they've had children being taught in converted cloakrooms because they're always trying to play catch-up. I think the Department of Education has been one of the better departments in terms of responding to that. But healthcare, transport, everything needs to increase to meet the needs of communities as they increase in size as well.